Okay, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, still, starting at verse 14, and tonight we're going to look at 14 through 21. I'll go ahead and read the entire passage, 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 21. And then for a few moments this evening, we'll unpack this important section of Scripture. So, 1 Corinthians 4, starting at 14. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? I'm going to recap what we talked about last week with verses 1 through 13 of chapter 4. First of all, Paul understands that in his work, and of course, Paul very boldly approaches the work that he has been commissioned by God to do, but he understands that ultimately God is his judge. Paul is in the business of pleasing God and only God. He basically doesn't get too worried or anxious about what others think of him. He's setting an example by saying, I live to please an audience of one. It's about God for me. And with that sort of crystal clear focus on what he's supposed to do, he's willing to confidently and boldly approach the work that he's been called to do. It's the first thing. Paul pleads with the congregation, therefore, based on what I just said, to recognize his authority. The apostles have become the scum of the earth, the rubbish of the world for the sake of God's mission. Again, Paul has a very clear understanding of his mission and purpose. And Paul and the other apostles are servants of Christ and are stewards of the mysteries of God. We talked about that mystery some this morning. Namely, Paul writes in Colossians, Christ in you. Then Paul can be trusted. Therefore, he should be listened to. I think it's interesting how much what we're talking about in Colossians during the worship time on Sunday mornings and what we're looking at here in 1 Corinthians, I think it's interesting how much they parallel one another. In both passages, for instance, that we're looking at today, Paul is making an appeal for being recognized as an authoritative figure. You know how kids often respond to their parents, why? And we're like in this time right now with Adeline. You know how they always ask why for everything. Why? 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 Paul doesn't just say, I'm an apostle and I said so, right? That's what we want to say to Adeline. Because I'm your dad, you know, because I'm your mom. We do that some. I mean, but we try to offer some explanation. But anyways, Paul doesn't just drop the apostle card, right? Just say, I'm an apostle. Just you know, I said so. Let's leave it at that. Instead, he shares what his life has been up to this point, what his life has been like up to this point. Getting into our section for tonight, verse 14, He says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. So writing what is our follow-up question to that verse. I think it's pretty much all that Paul has said up to this point, but primarily a couple things. One, in chapter 3 in verse 1, Paul says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. He's not saying this to shame the people, but to warn them, to call them to something more. And then, of course, as I've already alluded to in chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, that preceding section, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. Then there's this, okay? Verse 10. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated. We are homeless, we work with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. So, I think Paul is using sarcasm here. He's comparing the Christians in Corinth to him, to himself, to his own life in Christ. And in doing this, he's pushing them a bit. What he says in verse 14, he is pushing them to warn them of something. Verses 15 through 17 now. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So again, words about Paul's authority, Paul's credibility. He sees himself as a father in the gospel. In Philemon, in verse 10, Paul refers to Onesimus as his son in the faith. He also recognizes Timothy that way, as his son in the gospel or in the faith. And so, Paul, he pulls out the big stick here, right? He's warning them as a father would approach a son or a child. It carries a significant amount of weight. He says you have these guardians, or even if you had 10,000 guardians, the word guardian there could simply be translated as tutor or even as a babysitter, right? So he says you have these babysitters, these guardians. These would have often been household slaves who were supposed to be respected and obeyed by the children. But we know how this goes, right? With the babysitter, supposed to be respected, supposed to be obeyed, but often not, because the kids think they're just the babysitter, right? But Paul says, I'm your father in the faith. I'm more than a babysitter. I carry an incredible amount of authority in relationship with you. In Paul's life, we know it's selfless, sacrificial, it's loving, it's caring. Paul says they are to imitate him. They are to imitate this kind of life. And again, this is about his credibility and authority. We're moving rather slowly through 1 Corinthians, but we need to get this. We're going to be spending several more months in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is going to address some incredibly weighty matters to this church in Corinth. That's why he's spending so much time, I believe, setting up a foundation that he is authoritative in relationship to this church. And next week, it starts. I mean, go ahead and if you want to read ahead, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And you're like, ugh. And to remind you, when we talk about restoring or having the first century kind of church, I don't think we ever mean Corinth, right? this church was flawed. And then we say, well, churches are made up of humans, and so, of course, all of them are going to be flawed. But Paul, he wants to demonstrate authority with these folks. And Paul, we know, he walks the walk and talks the talk. He says in verse 17, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, again, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Timothy was going to go to them and remind them of Paul's life. Timothy was like a walking, talking, breathing testimony of Paul's work. Timothy was a sign. His own life, who he was a sign of Paul's authority. Verses 18 through 21. "Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing, and then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Should I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit?" And so we know there's this arrogance, and I think this arrogance is coming from both insiders in the church, but also from those outside. They were teaching philosophical ideas opposed to the gospel. Often they were in it for selfish gain. We know that those inside the church were dividing the congregation, which goes against the grain of what a community of faith is supposed to be about. Arrogance is about trying to gain followers for one's own agenda. It's about oneself, not about God, or certainly not about others. And Paul makes this curious statement here about the kingdom. He says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." We know that Paul has power, apostolic power. I believe when Paul comes to see the power that they have, what he'll realize, or maybe from what he hears from Timothy, is they really don't have that much power, right? They're just talkers. I think we get this when we hear that, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." I think we get what Paul is talking about there. From what they say and what they do, what they teach, what they proclaim, again, these arrogant folks, there isn't much transformation that is occurring. So it's talk sans the power of the Holy Spirit we're talking about here. Power comes through action, and it comes through changed lives, or that word transformation comes to mind. It has the ability to change the way in which one lives. Power is something that comes through God's activity by the Holy Spirit. And so I just think about it this way. These arrogant folks, these people in the church, are just talk, right? Talk. But not a lot of action. Not a lot is being done. Not a lot of lives are being influenced. And so Paul says it's not a matter of talk, but of power. This power is influential. It's tangible, we might say. And then Paul closes. He says, "Shall I come with a rod of discipline, or love and gentle spirit? Paul is willing to come with whichever is needed, right? But it's going to come down to how the church in Corinth is going to respond to him. Paul could come with a rod and whip them into shape, so to speak. He's willing to do that. again, like we talked about this morning, the stakes are that high. He's willing to do that. So it's going to come down to how Corinth, how the church in Corinth responds to this. Are they going to shape up? Are these arrogant people, especially those within the church, are they going to give up their personal agendas and again bow to the lordship of Jesus and allow everything they do to be shaped by their allegiance to him? How are they going to respond to this? And so, I know you all are just getting ready to party it up, so let me land this plane. Three takeaways, real quick. I went like this. I don't know why I did that, but three takeaways, really quickly. I think with Paul, and I know Paul's an apostle, and so perhaps we're setting ourselves up for failure when we even think this way, but I think all of us should strive to have the kind of faith that when we talk to others, we can say, imitate me. Imitate me. That's what Paul says. Follow my example, is what he's going to say later. Imitate me. That word imitate comes from a Greek word where we get the word mimic. So just follow that pattern. Follow that kind of life. Mimic it. And so you could think about it as you're introspective. You could think about it. Do I have the kind of faith that I could say to others, imitate me? And if they were to do so, it's where it gets really important, rubber meets the road. If they were to imitate me, they would be becoming not more like Rob, but they would be becoming more like Jesus. Do we have that kind of faith? Are we willing to say something like that? And we remember that more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. It's about how we are living our life. Then there's this, and really we could, if we wanted to sum up what we've looked at so far in 1 Corinthians, all the way through chapter 4, arrogance just fired Paul up. Just fired him up. And it should fire us up as well. Arrogance. It's about me. It's about my agenda. It's about my desire. That kind of thinking is cancerous to the church. Arrogance has fired him up. I'm ready to come. If I need to come with a rod of discipline, I will. It should fire us up as well. And of course, the antithesis of that is humility. It's humility. It's selflessness. It's laying our lives down for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of others. So we need to have radical humility. And then finally, the kingdom is not a matter of talk, but power. And so I believe that how that applies to our own lives is that our actions, what we do, is more powerful than our words. What we do is more powerful than our words. I was looking at a few Proverbs earlier this week. And it's interesting, a few of them just say, don't talk as much, in other words, you know. Be careful what you say, right? I believe that how we interact with others, how we treat people, whether it's those that are close to us or those that are light years different than us, how we act, very, very, very powerful. So I'm gonna list these again, and we'll be done. First, the takeaway is strive for the kind of faith. Strive for it. The kind of faith where you could say, "Imitate me," and when folks imitate you, they're becoming more like Jesus. And then be humble. Again, arrogance just that really got Paul going. He did not like that. And then finally, strive to have a faith that is displayed primarily through what you do over against what you say. So that's it. If there's anybody here tonight that is ready to give your life to Jesus in baptism, Mark's going to lead us in a song, and maybe tonight's the night that you want to decide to do that. And again, of course, and we are always wanting to be a church that is just praying with one another, praying for one another. So if you have anything you'd like to make known to the group tonight, that would be great. You can come forward and let us know. So let's go ahead and stand, and we'll continue our time of worship.